The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to a yet-to-be-titled episode of the Acme Packing Company Podcast Network. The Green Bay Packers made two selections, both Georgia Bulldogs. A little bit surprising. I'm here with Tyler Brook. I'm Justin Mosqueda. I'm here with Evan Tex Western too. Say what's up to people, both of you.
Man, it's been a long day. Long day.
It's been a long month. So we get two more days of this, and hopefully they're a little. I wouldn't say today wasn't exciting. I just don't think it was what we were expecting.
I kind of expected this. I felt like in my heart of hearts, I was at 50-50, no wide receiver last time we recorded. By today, I said, I'm like 30-70 if they're still there at 22, right? Like, I just didn't think that they were going to make a pick at 22. They were going to have to move up for one of these guys if they're going to take one in the first round. We saw Aaron Rodgers actually talked about it on the Pat McAfee show because he was on their stream during the draft. He said the team had six wide receivers graded with first round grades. They all went before, I believe, pick 17. So the Packers didn't have an opportunity to draft one. I don't believe there was another wide receiver drafted after that. We look at the big board of like the consensus ranking of like guys who are left. Top guy by far, George Pickens, 39th overall. Then you have guys like Christian Watson, Sky Moore, who's probably a little small for a Packers receiver, and John Metchie, who's has injury issues and is probably a little bit too small to be a Packers receiver. So that was kind of the run. I felt like we kind of knew it. The selections, though, were surprising. Quay Walker, 22nd overall, Georgia Bulldog inside linebacker. I love him. I have been talking about him on this podcast for 2 months saying I can't believe he's not the number one inside linebacker in this draft class. People are catching up to him. I even said last episode of Draft Talk, the 9.0, I was like, people are saying he's a top 20 lock now. Now he's not even going to be available at 22. I jinxed it. We got him. He's so fun. He's fast. He's athletic. He's big. He's violent. I couldn't ask more for an inside linebacker. Having him and Devondre Campbell next to each other after years of seeing no inside linebacker is definitely it's life-changing, man. We got three corners and two inside linebackers. I don't know this team.
We talked about this on the last pod. About, you know, potentially N'Kobe Dean at 28, right? And how it would be a different skill set than Devondre and how that could potentially fit. So what do you feel about Quay, where literally PFF's pro comp for him was Devondre Campbell? And
they're the comps. They're physically almost identical, right? Like both guys are 6'4". Quay is 241. Devondre was like 235 coming out in 2016. They both ran in the 4.5s. Like these guys almost seem like mirror images of one another.
I'll take a third one. If they're going to make a third one, I'll take a third one. Keep making them. I'll keep buying them. I thought he was the best one. I mean, I would have had a much different reaction at this pick if it would have been like Devin Lloyd, right?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it's Walker, and Walker's going to help you a ton as a pass rusher too. Like he's setting picks basically for N'Kobe Dean on all those stunts for Georgia. He's going to be able to help the pass rush on third downs. Like you can walk. They didn't do it a lot last year because I don't think they trusted Barnes, honestly, to be like the single inside linebacker playing sideline to sideline. But they had Campbell drop down to the line of scrimmage a couple of times and play the edge. And that, if you can get Campbell on the edge and you get Gary on a center, and now you got 5-on-5 up front and you can have Walker play sideline to sideline, like, that's an easy way. You're in nickel. You're not telegraphing what you're going to, you know, by coming off of the sideline, you're not telegraphing the offense, like, what type of package you're in, but you can still get into a lot of those pressure looks. I love it. I really do. Like, I had that board for our live stream that had some technical difficulties. Apologies to the people who were trying to follow along with that. I had a board of like 10 guys I really wanted at 22 and 28. Quay was four. There's very small margins of me being higher on that pick than him. The two Georges would have been the dream, George Karlaftis and George Pickens, but Karlaftis ended up going to the Kansas City Chiefs at the end. So that's a bummer.
You said it yourself, right? You know, it went from the two Georges to the two Georges.
There's still life for the three Georges.
George Pickens
is still on the board.
The other George, yeah. The George from Georgia. Yeah.
Tex, did you run any? You did a great job with all the first round trade talks on the site. What would the trade value have to trade up in the second round?
Oh man, I'll have to look. Give me a second. We're gonna have to edit this out. Come back to me in just like
okay,
two minutes. But yeah, there's options there for sure. I think if you lose the fourth rounder, you know, either that 132 or 140, I mean, you can get up to, let's say, the mid 40s, you know, if you go up to 53, so 45, 46.
If George is still there, go for it. There's not many receivers.
If Pickens is there at 45, I think you absolutely make the move up. I think 53 and 132 can get you close. Maybe throw in one of those, like, you know, one of those seventh rounders or something, and that might get it done. So that's a reasonable range if you're willing to give up one of the fourth rounders. You start talking about adding that third rounder into the mix, that could get you up as high as 40. So I would not rule out.
I wouldn't give up the third.
I wouldn't either, but I also wouldn't rule it out if they, you know, I don't know. They could have a grade on Pickens and really decide, you know what, this is our guy. We need to go up and get him. I would start looking in, like I said, around 40, probably realistically around 45, 46 is probably where we get to.
What if the whole plane was made out of Georgia players?
Georgia defenders. I mean, I wouldn't complain.
Like, Stokes last year. I mean, that's three straight first round picks from Athens.
I wouldn't be complaining. I'm not complaining at all.
Let's turn that G green, baby.
The wide receiver run, very interesting. Everyone went a little bit earlier than I think we thought, right? Like, we had talked about the Los Angeles Chargers potentially being a trade-up spot to grab potentially Chris Olave. Chris Olave goes 11. He goes to pick immediately after Garrett Wilson. Drake London went 8th overall. I think that was kind of a surprise to everyone. The early draft was weird. I mean, I had been talking about how it's going to be the defensive end run, basically the edge rusher run, the tackle run. Then it's going to be wide receiver and corner. The corner run started before the tackle run. I was pretty shocked about that. Stingley and Gardner went 3 and 4, and they went to teams, Houston Texans, New York Jets, right? Famously zone teams, like spot drop zone, and they drafted man corners. Maybe they're looking to change a little bit, but that was really interesting to me. As soon as that third tackle, right, Charles Cross went off the board, wide receiver, and London went before him. The shock of the draft to me, 15 and 16, Kenyon Green going to the Houston Texans, and then Jahan Dotson, wide receiver from Penn State, going 16 to the Washington Commanders. The Packers must have had a first-round grade on Dotson based off of what Rodgers said. I'm kind of surprised by that. He's 170-something pounds. That's a lot smaller than they typically look at wide receiver, so maybe that opens up some more possibilities on day two and day three. Maybe they are looking at a guy like a Sky Moore that, you know, we previously had thought, like, maybe he's a little too small for them. They also apparently had a first-round grade on Treylon Burks, who went 18th. After the Tennessee Titans traded A.J. Brown, man, I really wish I had A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
The extension is what gave me a little bit of pause. So, you know, you're talking 100 million over 4 years, but it's AJ Brown. It's you get your weapon there, and you still have another first rounder to play with.
Can we just note how ridiculous that 2019 or 2018 Ole Miss offense was with AJ Brown and DK Metcalf both on that same
Jordan Te'amu
offense?
Yeah,
fantastic.
XFL's
offense.
Finest Jordan Te'amu.
Good lord. Yeah,
they paid ridiculous. Good money for the for those wide receivers Ole Miss. Yeah. And then Missouri got punished for it. Yeah.
Oh man,
gotta love the good old NCAA. Ooh. But weird draft. Quarterbacks didn't get really drafted. Kenny Pickett was the only one to go. I thought three were going to go today between Ritter and Malik also going, but hey, Pickett was first quarterback off the board. Pittsburgh to Pittsburgh.
Kenny Pickett, famous favorite of QB ops for our own Paul Noonan. Many people are saying that the NFL has adopted QB ops as the preferred quarterback evaluation method. So good on Paul for identifying the one first round quarterback this year.
Other weird things before we get to pick 28, because this happened in between. Jermaine Johnson, 26th overall to the New York Jets. Yeah. Somehow everyone, including myself, had gotten Salah loves him. They could take him as high as fourth overall. Did not go fourth overall. Extremely went 26th. Weirdest drop in the draft to me. I understand the Malik thing, right? Like, it's a quarterback thing. We've, as a NFL community, have talked about, like, how the seats are filled, right? There's butts in the seats in the game of musical chairs for these quarterbacks. It's tough to find a spot for Malik, at least in the first round, if it wasn't going to be a team like Carolina, who, by the way, drafted probably a left tackle for them who could potentially play guard, Ikem Ekwonu, as their only pick in the first like 140 selections of this draft. Insane. Which is, I don't know if they were just a tackle away. Okay. I don't think Darnold needed just a tackle.
You don't think the Carolina Panthers were one offensive lineman away from a Super Bowl?
I sure don't. I really don't. But the Packers drafted Devontae Wyatt, the other Georgia defender, as an interior defensive lineman, 28th overall. That was a guy Tyler and I had talked about a lot, right? Green Bay had brought him in on a visit. He had what was the technical term? Family
violence, I think, was the charge.
Family violence was the charge. Yeah. It was not an isolated incident per se, right? Like, I had told you guys, the scouts had said, like, that's not the only situation. It's just, like, the only one that was reported. Gutekunst said that there were two or three, I believe he said, hiccups.
Yep.
Is how he put it, and then said he stubbed his toe or something like that. And weird. Analogy.
Weird metaphor.
But he was a guy who very much fits kind of what Green Bay likes athletically. The one weird thing about his background, beyond, you know, obviously the family violence stuff, is that he's an older player, which is not necessarily what Green Bay typically goes after. They need a defensive lineman. There weren't many in this class. You look at these guys who are not like pure nose tackles, and it's really like Devontae Wyatt and Logan Hall. Those were really the top two in this draft class, I think, in terms of guys who actually like showed it on the field too. So I'm not surprised that he was the pick necessarily, as much as like I'm surprised they took like the off-field risk, I guess is the way to put it.
Yeah.
As weird as that is.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Right. Like, you can imagine him and Kenny Clark lining up as your two down linemen in the nickel, right? Those two are going to get some great push on the interior in the pass rush. But it is all that off the field stuff that makes you give a little bit of pause. And the Packers had him in for a visit. Obviously, they did their research on him. Gutekunst said that in everything they looked through, he never put a hand on anybody. So that's a good thing. The reports say that he kicked down the door of somebody's dorm room door. Not awesome, but you know, the way I look at this is, I will be hoping that he has gotten past whatever issues resulted in those incidents. And, you know, I certainly hope he ends up being a productive member of this organization on and off the field. And certainly on the field, on paper, he looks like a guy who is tailor-made for this defense and tailor-made for the need that this team has at three tech specifically.
Yeah, I mean, we had talked about this before, and I think we wrote this up even in the post-combine stuff, but everyone talks about Jordan Davis, and it's very understandable about talking about Jordan Davis, right? Like, literally the most athletic interior defensive lineman ever.
Really, traded up for him, 13 overall, right?
They jumped Baltimore for him, which I was kind of surprised. I thought they were going to end up taking Hamilton, and then the picks were reversed. But Wyatt, if Jordan Davis did not exist, we'd be talking about Wyatt as, you know, the crazy athlete interior defensive lineman in this class. I mean, 6'3", 304. He ran a 4.77 40-yard dash. He said in the media availability.
This is great.
Which, by the way, the media did not ask him any questions about these events. They asked Goot about it twice. They didn't ask him about it once. But he said that when they were training, I believe down in Arizona, he and Jordan Davis were training together. After their first run in the 40-yard dash, they stopped training them with a defensive line group, and they made them start training with the linebackers.
That's crazy.
I mean, this is a guy who can legitimately play nose tackle, right? Like, he's not going to play the zero, but he can play the one. He'll play on someone's shoulder and line up in the A gap. Yeah. Crazy. Go ahead.
On the age thing, what blew my mind is, you know, he talked about growing up watching Kenny Clark. He is 2.5 years younger than Kenny Clark. Like, that is just preposterous.
He is 24 years old already. Like, he's got to be older than Jordan Love, right? Let me look it up right now. He is older than Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Jordan Love and him will be the same age for about 4 months starting in November.
I did look it up, and the last time the Packers drafted a guy who was older than 22 years old on draft day was when they picked Justin Harrell in 2007. He was 23.
Something about those big guys moving that fast, right?
Yeah.
It's like the whole planet theory thing, where it's like God doesn't make many of them. I mean, just think about this defense up front, right, in base downs. I'm going to assume Wyatt outplays Reed. Do not like Jordan Reed as a player, like
Jaren Reed.
Jaren Reed, my bad.
Jordan Reed, cool guy.
Yeah,
good analyst.
Yes, Bleacher Report's finest, former Bleacher Report.
Apologies. The base front, right? Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry up front. On the edges, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary. On the inside, a backer, Quay Walker, Devondre Campbell. Corner is probably Eric Stokes and Jair, with Amos and Savage playing safety. And what, one of these interior guys, probably Lowry, comes off the field in nickel.
Yep.
And you get Russell Douglas as an outside guy, and Jair kicks in a nickel.
That's a fun nickel package. That's a lot of fun.
That, you got, like, if it's top 10, like if it's 10th in the NFL in defense, that's a disappointment. This is a very good defense.
It's got some depth too. I mean, even on the defensive line, if TJ Slayton can take the next step, even a little bit, you know, you got some stuff there. And Chris Barnes shows some flashes. So there is a little depth at inside linebacker if something goes wrong there. It's nice to have this. Yeah, he did enough.
It's good. I mean, they need to add depth in general, I think, on the team in the next 2 days. There's not a ton of spots you feel like, oh, they don't need a pick there. Right. It's quarterback and probably running back that you're like, they probably didn't need to add a guy. But everywhere else, I mean, how are you guys feeling in terms of the wide receivers? Yeah, everyone wants to talk about the wide receivers. I had come to peace with it. I had come to peace with Brooks probably isn't the guy. There's not going to be a speed receiver there. I don't know how much upside there is in picking a guy at 22 or 28 if it's not Pickens. And Pickens is still out there at this point.
Yeah, for me, it was the instant we got to 11 and New Orleans traded up for Olave. That was the moment where I was like, all right, it's not.
We were on the stream. Right. I was like punching my desk.
Sucks. That was the moment, right? Like, okay, it's not happening tonight. We're gonna have to look at day two for our receivers. And there's still guys out there, right? I mean, Pickens is out there. You could see an Alec Pierce fitting into this offense pretty well. Jalen Tolbert. I mean, there's players out there for this team on day two. But they've got to get one of these guys. It's either get a big, you know, a guy who can be a big play guy, or you try to make a run at Julio Jones after the comp pick deadline next week.
Or OBJ. I mean, they just gave Cam Akers number 3 for OBJ's yeah. number. So like he's not coming back, right? So
yeah,
we'll see how that ends up shaking out. I think as far as day two predictions, again, it's so tricky with George Pickens because I don't know what about the off-field stuff they're like comfortable with or not comfortable. It really does seem like attitude stuff, right? Like it's different yep. than what Wyatt is going through. If I had to guess a wide receiver Green Bay would take, I would say Tyquan Thornton, the yep. wide receiver out of Baylor. I think he's yep. going to go top 100. I think the media has probably been a little bit too low on him relative to like where NFL draft evaluators have him. Flying speed, right? Like 4.2 speed, shows up on film. He's a skinnier guy at like 6'4", 280, but he's got super long arms. Plucks
what,
the ball
what, 180, not 280. Oh, 280.
Holy shit.
Yeah, goodness gracious. That's a Madden creative player.
4.29, 40, 280.
Yeah, oh, my bad.
My bad.
We've 180. Cut us some slack. We've had a couple.
It's late. It's late. We've had a couple.
Oh, man.
But he's very athletic. I think he's going to go around this range. I think if you're looking for speed and the guys that are the Packers size, there's very few options. I mean, if it's not Pickens, you're looking at guys like Christian Watson, Alec Pierce. I think those guys are going to get pushed up the draft board. We've seen wide receivers get pushed up. If you're telling me instead of taking Tyquan Thornton in the fourth, you're taking him in, you know, second round, maybe trade back or something like that into the third or draft him just in the third, like, give me that and then take some swings in the earlier rounds, like in the second round on an edge rusher. Like that's cool with
yep.
me. Because the team still needs an edge rusher. That's yep. probably one of the bigger needs.
I'm going to be completely honest. Like I want to pretend like not having a receiver doesn't bother me. It's bothering me a little bit, guys. I'm down pretty bad. I'm looking at Alec Pierce. I'm looking at Jarvis Landry on the free agent market.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm telling you. But the time has passed. It's already yeah. gone. The genie's yeah. out of the bottle now. Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I understand if first wide receiver yeah. you take is Tyquan Thornton. I get it.
I will say, like, give me Tolbert at 53 yes. or 59.
I really like Jalen Tolbert.
I think he can be the guy that can, you know, he can replay a big role in this offense. What he did at South Alabama basically is that team's entire offense, right? I think that's a real strong possibility if they stand pat, you know, in the 50s, and if they don't try to move up for a guy like Pickens. So I think Tolbert's the guy to keep an eye on in round two.
I will say
it's speed. It's speed. It's smooth acceleration with him. He tracks the ball really well deep downfield. He's got a little wiggle. He's just one of these small school guys I watched and I just really liked. I think he's a weapon there. Tyquan Thornton, I've talked myself into as well, but Tolbert's just a guy. I'm very curious to see where he ends up, even if it's not Green Bay, because he was just a very fun watch.
He's like the one wide receiver I haven't seen. So I'm fully prepared for them to just take him and make me very mad and have to go back to the film. As far as like the edge board, because that's another position that, you know, we've talked about a lot. There are a lot of guys still out there. Like we got three shots potentially at them in day three or day two. David Ojabo is on the board. Boye Mafe didn't go. Arnold Ebiketie was a guy that people talked yep. about as a potential first round pick. He's still out
new
there.
Guy.
Drake Jackson, USC, he's still out there. Josh Paschal is still out there. Like there's some meat on the bone at edge rusher still. And you don't get to say that a lot on day two. So I'd be pretty surprised if they passed up on this entire group. I understand like maybe Karlaftis wasn't your guy. They did draft two incredible athletes, right? It's not like they turned down Karlaftis for other guys who are just like average athletes or don't have rare traits. I mean, both of them have rare traits that they brought.
9.5 plus RASs on both Walker and Devontae Wyatt.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Awesome.
No, I completely agree with you though. There's four or five edge guys that I could very well see them taking at 53 or 59 if they're out there. The guys you mentioned, and maybe even like a Cameron Thomas from San Diego State.
Love
I think
that
he could
guy.
Be in that. Yeah, I think he could be possibly in that group as well.
Let's say I got a question for both of you guys. Obviously, wide receiver and edge; those are the two big positions we want on day two. Would you rather also in day two have an offensive lineman or a tight end?
I think they're, I've fully bought into the idea that they're just going to take one in, they're going to take one in the third round. That's when the run is going to happen. Maybe they spend that third round pick somewhere else and then they trade back into it, because we know how long the third round gets now with all those compensatory picks added to the end, plus all the, like, you hired a minority coach or general manager picks that get added to the end of it too. So maybe they do something like that. I just assume they're going to go tight end. The thing about tackle too, outside of Abraham Lucas, I don't know who you need to draft in day two who's still out there. Like, that's the reason why all these tackles flew off of the board, where if you want Zach Tom, you could probably take him in round four. Like,
that's what I was just gonna say, right? Where is Zach Tom gonna go? Is he a fourth round guy? Does he sneak into that top 100? Does he sneak into the back end of the third round?
I really don't think so. I don't think the NFL likes him as much as, you know, general analysts like him, but, like, he's very much a Green Bay guy, so I could see them liking him. The two guys I really like, just in terms of, like, I don't know, like, return on investment, like, relative to, like, where people have them ranked. Zach Tom, Wake Forest, did very well against Jermaine Johnson, who, again, was just drafted in the first round, right? A guy who can lock that type of guy up. He can play guard. He can play tackle. And the other one is Cade Mays, the right tackle for Tennessee. Passes all the Packers athletic score stuff. He was the right tackle at Tennessee after transferring from Georgia. I like him more than the UT Chattanooga guy who just went in the first round for the Pats.
Cade Mays is my John Runyon this year.
Yeah,
okay. I am convinced that Cade Mays is going to be the Packers' fifth round pick.
100%. Don't take Logan Bress.
Sign me up for Logan Bress. Cade Mays could, like, might be able to start week one. I'm not joking. Yeah. Like, he was the one dude. Tennessee played that, like, weird. It was very much like the Ole Miss offense that what's his name came out of? Royce Newman came out of.
Yep.
Where it's like a lot of fake stuff. But, like, when they were actually asked to drop back pass, that offensive line crumbled completely around their quarterback. The only guy who would stand up on a down-to-down basis and was not just, like, laying down on the ground after the play was Cade Mays. And it was hilarious because you could – it's like bowling pins. Like, you watch the bowling ball go through their offensive line, and the last thing standing is Cade Mays and, like, maybe the quarterback if he's scrambling out. It's nuts.
That's an amazing way to put it.
But I think, like, if you gave me the choices, positions that they're going to target day two, wide receiver, edge, and then tight end in the third round. Go wide receiver, edge, in the second, grab a tight end in the third round. We'll call it a day. We add depth at, like, corner, safety, tackle, whatever you want at day three, and we move on. That's our football
team. And that's a great draft, honestly.
Yeah.
I honestly think that's a great draft.
Yep.
Oh. Any other final notes? Anything else that surprised you guys on draft day? I will say some of the trades were weird. Arizona Cardinals, what are you doing? They basically gave up the 27th pick to trade for Hollywood Brown, who is in a contract year. So they're going to have to pay him, you know, north of $20 million. Like, that's crazy to me. But I guess, you know, if Kyler is demanding it and Cliff Kingsbury can't help himself, well, what else are you going to do? Dotson going that high at 16, nuts to me. Like, wide receivers just flying off of the board. Gutekunst talked about it. He was like, there were a couple wide receivers I was willing to trade up for in this draft. But, like, you watch how all this stuff unfolds and you just want to say, like, okay, we're just going to keep our picks then. Because I understand, like, okay, Garrett Wilson goes 10. That's not a surprise. Drake London going 8, it's a little bit of a surprise. But then Chris Olave going 11, third wide receiver off of the board, at 11 for a trade up by the New Orleans Saints. And then the Lions trading up from 32 to 12.
Yeah, that was nuts.
That one, like,
all right, they just all went. They all just got drafted.
That one's crazy to me, but I get it from the Lions' perspective, right? They're not going to be competing in 2022. So, you know, you've already got a redshirt year for Williams coming off of his ACL injury. You can basically sit him for the first, you know, 8-10 weeks of the season, whatever it is, to get him back to full strength, get him worked up, and then basically treat this year as a redshirt year, get him back next year when you probably draft a quarterback in the top five and start trying to compete again in 23. I get it. I can understand it, but that's a big old move. And the fact that they moved up and traded with Minnesota too, and they did it within the division, was a shocker to me.
And I think they got the better deal out of the Vikings. Like, I don't think Jameson Williams is a normal 12th overall pick. that a guy that talented usually isn't there. And part of it is because of the injury.
Yep.
They traded 12 and 46, right? The Vikings did for 32, 34, and 66 overall. So essentially what happened, the Lions moved 20 spots up in round one, moved, 12 spots down in round two, and gave up the first pick of the third round.
That's insane.
That's insane. Nuts. Absolutely nuts. I would have thought that cost you a damn arm and a leg. And it really didn't. I mean, they shuffled the round picks, essentially, and gave up a third round pick for Jameson Williams.
the crazy thing is that that actually works out for Minnesota's benefit, according to the charts, which
I saw PFF say that too. And I'm like, okay, I get that. But then I turn into like football caveman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's not a normal 12th overall pick.
Oh, yeah.
I see Jameson Williams. He was the only guy who could produce against that Georgia defense that is seeing all these guys drafted.
Yeah.
Him getting injured changed the dynamic of that national championship game. I was there, man. I thought Alabama was going to run away with it. And as soon as Jameson Williams went down, my first thought was Georgia is right back in. He was the only thing that was giving them problems.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Like, I don't care what the numbers say, that is a game changing player at that spot to move up for.
I have one final thought.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I think Philadelphia is the biggest winner of today, and not like just the Eagles. I think it's the city of Philadelphia. Philadelphia Phillies swept their whatever series. I don't know. I don't watch baseball, but they got a sweep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Philadelphia 76ers advance in the playoffs. They traded up to get Jordan Davis, and they traded for AJ Brown. This might be the best day in Philadelphia sports history since they won the Super Bowl.
Pretty good. The SB Nation had a Twitter Spaces where we were just fielding questions from everyone and comments. There was a lot of rants from Steelers fans talking about Bobby Brister and stuff like that. A lot of people saying, like, my dad went through the dark years. I'm happy I get to have my dark years so I can, like, future kids. But on the opposite side, the happiest fans by far, Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, they think they're winning the NFC East. Someone called it the best day in Philadelphia sports. I told them to hit me up whenever they erect the statue of AJ Brown with the Bud Light and Nick Sirianni. It was a fun day. I mean, this draft was pretty cool. A lot of surprises. Again, like Kenyon Green 15, Jahan Dotson 16. I don't think that happened in a single mock. Ahmad Gardner going 4 and Stingley going 3. I don't think that happened in a single mock. Like, a lot of weird stuff. Malik not being drafted at all. I don't think anyone had that. Just a weird day in general. The other thing, the Patriots.
Cole Strange.
Yeah, that was a weird. So, like, that was a weird pick. But then also, the Kansas City Chiefs traded out with the New England Patriots for Trent McDuffie. I don't know who's going to take him. Like, did they think Buffalo was going to trade up for Trent McDuffie? He's kind of like an undersized corner. The Buffalo Bills were totally fine trading up right after Quay Walker was picked for Kyir Elam. There were a lot of weird stuff just going on in general.
I can't help shake, you know, I can't shake the feeling that a couple of teams misjudged what other teams were going to do. And I mean, as I'm looking through the draft board here, right? Like, we didn't have any trades in the top six. We didn't have any trades in the top 10 on draft day.
Yeah.
But then once you hit 11, everything just went freaking bonkers.
Oh, yeah. It was just like, hey, by the way, AJ Brown and Marquise Brown are on different teams. And you're like, what? Why?
Yeah. And then Saints trading up for Olave, Detroit trading up for Jameson, Philly trading up for Jordan Davis. Like, it was just boom, 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 back to back to back. And it was one of the crazier middle of the first rounds that I think I've ever seen.
And then the Chargers, where it was like, hey, they need a wide receiver or a tackle or a defensive tackle. And they're like, well, there's none there to take because we don't have Treylon Burks. We're going Zion Johnson guard. And it's like, oh, all right. It's a monkey wrench coming out at right after Kenyon Green and Jahan Dotson. Just weird. Yep. Weird, weird, weird. It's going to be interesting to see what does Detroit even do. So, like, let's talk about day two a little bit. The Lions' next pick is 46. they could theoretically still get after a quarterback. It's going to be a lot tougher now, I think. Like, there's just going to be teams waiting there. Like, Tennessee at 35 is a team I would kind of circle as, like, a underdog to probably try to take either Ridder or Malik and sit him for a year or two behind Ryan Tannehill, which honestly would work well for those guys. The Seahawks picked twice, 40 and 41. Some of these quarterbacks are going to fly off the board. Atlanta Falcons at 43. So, I don't. Are we getting another full year of Goff? Like, I wasn't expecting that. I thought they were going to take a quarterback at some point.
I really want to see where Sam Howell goes, actually. He's the one where I feel like he can fall late enough that he might go to a team, you know, that made the playoffs that has an established quarterback and can sit, because he's got a live arm. I know Baker Mayfield comps. I think his arm has a little bit more power behind it.
I think he's also got the on that system too, because, like, it's a lot of RPO shot stuff, but, like, sometimes the shots are just like play action shots, and it's like, we're still pulling a guard though. So, like, there's going to be someone in your face. He didn't have anyone to throw. I mean, his entire offense went in bad. The draft last year, right? So, like, he didn't have anyone.
They had him run a lot. He's not super mobile, but he had a ton of carries. It's like, because, like, we just need you to make the plays, dude. Sorry.
I still like Ridder and Malik more, but he probably would have.
I do too. It's just, I agree with you. I'm just more interested to see where Howell goes, because I think he's the guy that's going to keep falling. Yeah. Although I do think he goes before Matt Corral. Is Corral going back to the draft tomorrow? Is he just going to go sit there and wait to be called on day three?
Dude, I don't know. I mean, that stuff is so weird. One time we were working with an agent who thought his guy was going to get drafted day two. Day one, he hung out with his family. Day two, they had the big old party, right? He thought he was going to be a second round pick. Didn't get drafted until the fourth. So they had a big old party. Didn't get picked. People don't show back up for that Saturday one. So I don't know. Weird. Keep it to the site. We'll keep you updated with any rumors. I don't think that they're going to trade for a veteran wide receiver. Would probably take both of their second round picks at this point. Yeah. I don't. They're not deep enough to be able to do that at the moment.
Like I said, I think the place you start looking is around 45 Baltimore, 47 Washington. That's about the spot that you can get to with 53 and a fourth round pick. I think that's when you start looking at a possible trade up.
And it makes sense, because the Packers, what, they still have 9 picks or something?
Yep.
In the next 2 days. So maybe there's 9 roster spots available for Green Bay, but based off of what everyone said, right? Like, that COVID year, everyone getting that extra, like, the super, super senior year season, basically, has kind of elevated the depth of this class. So, like, maybe guys that you previously would have 6-round picks on, you're picking up as undrafted free agents and stuff. So, see how
there's a lot of good players available tomorrow. I'm excited to see who they get.
There's a ton of linemen, which is why I'm like, I'm okay with them taking it on day three. Like, a ton of offensive linemen. So,
bring me Cade Mays.
What would you guys vibe check on the way out of 10 for the first two rounds?
Out of the first round? First two picks?
Sorry, first two picks, first round.
I'm going to say a 6.5. I think I was at like a 3 after the Devontae Wyatt pick. Hearing Goot say that, they, you know, based on what they found, there was no violence of striking anyone. It makes me feel a little better. I still don't feel great. But on the field, two phenomenal players that make the defense genuinely terrifying. And there's real opportunity. I really think it can turn into an 8, 9, 10 if they just hit it out of the park tomorrow. Or technically today. It is almost 2 a.m.
Yeah. No, I'm at a 6 also for a lot of the same reasons you said. The off the field stuff, if Wyatt, you know, if their research checks out, if, you know, if he's kind of gotten whatever those issues are under control and can focus on football and on the field, on paper, everything looks awesome. And now it's just a matter of, all right, you've got the ammunition to go get a receiver if you really need to in the middle of the second round. So it's all there still in front of us. I think the needs are achievable. And so go get a receiver in round 2, go get a tight end in round 3, go get an offensive lineman in round 4, and we'll be in good shape.
I think I'm with you guys. I was like 10 out of 10 with Quay, because it on a personal level, right? Not only am I getting just a gremlin, an absolute gremlin on this defense to play next to Campbell, it also like vindicates my thought of being like, this is the best linebacker in this draft class. And you guys 3 weeks ago were saying that he was a third round pick. I cannot believe you guys. If we can make it out of day two with Ebiketti or Paschal as edge rushers, one of them coming to Green Bay, and if we can make it out with Pickens or Tyquan Thornton at wide receiver, I'll feel so good. This would be like one from a talent perspective, one of the best classes in my, what is that?
Get
that ring. Get the ring size. Yeah, I can't wait. Okay,
love it.
We'll meet back again tomorrow. See you guys.
Have a great night, everyone.
Go Pack, go.